Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
Now I'm stepping back behind the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to do a work in our hearts today. Do you know, when you're in the ministry, it's a constant amusement to me how one-dimensional people sometimes think I am. People don't really know me. It just amuses me because you see me here dressed up and preened on a Sunday, dressed to the nines, and it takes longer and longer at 47 and 51, 52s to look good. But people think this is the real me. No, this is the effort me. And sometimes when you're in the public eye, people only see the one side of you. They assume that it's the whole you. So I'm going to give you a little picture for the next 5 minutes of who I really am. Are you ready, church? This may disappoint you. So I'm going to show you a picture on the screen first up. I bought this bracelet recently, if it comes up here. This bracelet, right? Oh, that's an interesting background. This bracelet, I thought when I bought it, represented the real me very well. Okay. Because what this bracelet is bohemian glitz. This is who I am. You can take it off now. Bohemian glitz. It's a little bit of sparkle and ladylikeness, but really, I am an Aussie beach girl dressed up in finery. That's really who I am. There's some shocking truths about me that many of you don't know today. Today I'm going to set the record straight. You ready, church? The first one is, when I met Dave, I was dressed in a cheesecloth dress with tapestry shoes. I only ate vegetarian food and I never wore any makeup. You're thanking Jesus for the transformation, aren't you? The second thing about me that you don't know is that I really pull my weight when it comes to the great outdoors. For 28 years of marriage, it is me that has mowed the lawn. And I even leaned on the mower to do it 4 weeks after I had my hip replaced, just because I wanted to. Sorry, Doc. George Russell was really surprised at me. Him and Johnny were around our house doing some work recently. And I single-handedly dug up and tidied our back garden for 5 hours non-stop. You see, I'm not just a pretty face. My husband is never home. Sometimes I have to put up shelves. I can put up shelves. I can mow the lawn. I can't cook, but you know, you can't have everything. I'm also worryingly known as the woman who throws all her shopping in bags randomly. I really upset Sarah Smith the other day because we went to Asda, and you know how people, you go to the counter, don't you, church, and you watch how people put their stuff on, and some people do forever because they put it one by one and it's all neatly. I just chuck it on. I just chuck it all on. The smaller the pile can be, the better. I put my new undies in with the freezer food. And I didn't know this was an issue. But Sarah assured me that is an issue. But I'm thinking, what's the fuss? They're going home to the same address. It'll just make your undies a bit colder when you put them on. This is the real me, church. I'm an Aussie girl who loves the beach. I'd have no qualms at surfing and then driving home for 3 hours with the salt water still on my skin. You can't believe that, can you? But it's actually true. I'm not scared of spiders. I'm great at catching them and exterminating them. If you ever need a spider of any size dealt with, I'm great with spiders. I love Christian music, but most of all, I like good, solid Aussie rock. Am I disappointing you this morning, church? And finally, church, I want to show you this morning what I wear at home. Are you ready? I don't actually think you are ready for this. I'm going to show you this morning what I wear at home. It's my bunny onesie. It's so comfortable. And Dave hates it. You might want to take the onesie away because it'll be disruptive, because the ears will be luring people while I'm preaching. There is a side unseen in every one of our lives. The side we are sometimes scared to expose to others. And I call it your dark side of the moon. I just did it. And I realised my son does that, doesn't he? Many of you don't know my son. He lives in Australia. But he does that. There is another side to all of us that we sometimes don't want people to see. But sometimes not only people. Sometimes there is a side to our lives that we don't even want to expose to God. Like we think God cannot see the whole person. Our God, we think our God doesn't want to look at a person with weakness and fissures and flaws. Psalm 190 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And this morning I want to tell you that God, your Father, is interested even in the areas of your life that you thought you'd failed. The Holy Spirit, Father God, this morning wants to turn those areas upside down in your life. We read in 2 Samuel about King David, and he was a man who succumbed to weakness. He stayed away from where he should have been, and he made a great mistake. He even tried to cover up his actions by killing the husband of Bathsheba, whom he'd wronged. There is an element in all of our lives that to sharpen you and make you for an even better purpose and a great promise in your world. 2 Corinthians 4, love this passage. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Let's stop for a moment and think about this verse. We say it because we've heard it many, many times. But let's stop and believe the word of God this morning, that our light and momentary troubles, that our light and momentary troubles are achieving. They're actually achieving something in your life today for an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs any pain your heart is in. The last 6 months, I have been dealing with a core issue in me that I'd hidden away, and something I didn't want to admit to or much more even deal with. So many times we hide stuff away because we feel like we don't have the energy or the ability or the emotional stability to even deal with. And then God takes us to a place where we're faced with it and we have to look it in the eye. So many of us have core issues in our lives that God wants to touch. Whether it's insecurity, inferiority, pride, fear, unforgiveness, the list goes on. In the last 6 months, I lost my mum. She was promoted to heaven very suddenly, my mum, who was in Australia. 8 weeks after that, my only son and his wife moved to Australia. And through that period, my husband was away for 10 weeks and I was on my own with God. And you may say that you can handle that, Jenny, you're strong. But beneath the surface in my life lay an issue that only these circumstances could expose. And God knew that what he was doing. So I'm going to take you back a little bit through my history. And many of you know it, but many of you don't. When I was born in 1966, I know, can you believe it? I was not the loved planned baby that many of us are. When I was born, I was actually the baby, unwanted baby of a gang rape. And I was farmed out for adoption at the age of 10 days old. When I was 16 years old, my adopted dad collapsed in church and within 6 weeks had died of cancer. All these things that went on in my life had placed within me a great fear of abandonment, almost an expectation that I'd be continually let down. Now, I'm sharing this story. I'm opening up my heart this morning because I believe there are areas in all of our lives that God wants to break through in. I'd always dreamed of family, and I was praying that my children and grandchildren would all be around me. I dreamed of having the family set up that I'd always been denied. This was even denied to me when I chose to come across the world to church plant in 1991. I left behind the only sense of family I'd ever had. And here I was in 2013 with my mother dead and my family moving to Australia. I couldn't understand that God could be so cruel with the very thing that hurt me most. But instead, he was choosing to take the thing that hurt me most and turn it into his greatest glory. The Bible says in Psalm 68, he is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. And the last part of the verse is for my son and daughter-in-law, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. What has actually happened over this last 6 months is that he spoke to me very clearly one day, and he said, Jen, it's about time that you believe for yourself the things that you tell other people. And I discovered the truth of what God has given me here in Hope City. I began to look around me and see all the incredible people that God had put in my life. He said, Jenny, I've set you in a family. I've set you, you can't see it, Jen, but I've set you in a family. And God began to wash over my heart and deal with that very core issue of abandonment that had been in my heart since I was a tiny, tiny baby. And God has come by his Spirit and healed my heart in the most miraculous, beautiful, stunning breakthrough I've ever had in my life. And that's because I faced up. Adversity has outed my fissure and my crack and my default switch. It's been outed through adversity, as God has a purpose calling upon it. And my destiny demands its exposure. Your destiny today demands the exposure of the dark side of your moon. Today, many of our entwined destinies require our exposure. That's what God is up to. He's making vessels unto honor, is what the Bible says. I would not ask God now to take away the last 6 months, because it has made me. Nothing aborts purpose like a hidden heart. Did you hear me, church? Nothing aborts purpose like a human heart. And God wants you to come before him and surrender to him the thing that causes you not to step forward. God wants us to bring our inner self to him so he can heal it, he can wash it with his word, Wash it with his word. The word of God is incredible. Wash it with his presence and then propel you into your kingly purpose. King David was known as a man who made a huge mistake, but more widely as a man who had a beautiful walk with his Father God. He was known for his wisdom and his kingship and his leadership. There is a purpose and a power in your weakness today. Listen to me, church. There is a purpose and a power in your place of weakness today. We've heard it so many times over the years, haven't we? But let me say it again. There is a purpose and a power in your weakness today. The Bible talks about how he anoints our weakness and how we're not meant to boast as the world boasts. We're meant to boast in the power of God resting on our humanity. We're so constantly tempted, aren't we, church, to boast about our abilities and our accomplishments because that's what the world demands of us. But God actually triumphs us touting our inadequacies. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I remember when my son was little, and the mums in the room really get this. You go to a playgroup with your kids, right? And you talk to the other mums, and they're telling you their son was fluent in Russian at 4 months. And, you know, my son can do this. My son's already done GCSE maths at 2. And all these amazing things. And my son's in Mensa. And I used to think, well, how do you respond to this? Because my son wasn't doing any of that. He was basically ripping everything apart. And I used to respond like this. I would say, oh, my son can't do that. I used to sort of deliberately just back and say, I don't need to boast about any of this. And right through his childhood, he was always the kid that got picked on. But when you hide behind God, it's interesting. And when Ryan was 12 years old, this is our son that you've never met, some of you who lives in Australia, he presented the 45th birthday show of Blue Peter. He was a minor celebrity in Sheffield for a moment. He would walk down the side of the road and people would hang out of the buses and go, that's the Blue Peter kid. Ryan and I, we were on Look North. I met Krista Aykroyd. Actually, it was really embarrassing. We walked past a dressing room, she's getting preened, and Ryan yells at the top of his voice, look, Mum, she's getting her hair done. I'm like, we were on radio shows and all sorts. And this was the kid that I never boasted about, but I trusted God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast. I'm not boasting about the fact that I can run, or I can't anymore, actually, to be fair. That I boast, it's not boasting about all the things that you are and you do and you've accomplished, but the Bible says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Come with me. I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. Come on. I delight in hardships, in persecutions, really? In difficulties? For the Bible says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It's time, church, that we began to boast in the power of God. It's time, church, that we began a people that were prayerful and believing God to come and land on the very things that have caused us hiccups up till now. To believe God to come and turn those things over in our life. God's purpose for your life and for this house is that we lay before him our hidden self. And he transforms it into something so powerful that the world literally stands up and takes notice. The world is not looking for your religiosity, and the world is definitely not looking for your hypocrisy. He wants to see humanity swallowed up in victory. The world wants to see humility packaged in glory. The world wants to see humanity swallowed up in victory. I know many of my friends at the gym have watched me be sad over the last 6 months, and now they're saying, I can't believe you've come through that. They're watching us. 2 Samuel 22. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God's on a rescue mission. God's on a rescue mission this morning for some that have come in this place and you've never met Jesus. He literally wants to reach down and take hold of you and turn your life around. God's on a rescue mission this morning for many of us in this place that need to surrender our hidden side to God. He is committed to giving you wonderful boundary lines, overwhelming favor, and a delightful inheritance. The verse 29 of the same passage says, the Lord turns my darkness into light. The Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Today is Light Transforming Sunday, where we reveal the dark side of the transforming power of God's presence and word. We show our dark side to God, and he alone turns it into light. And because of that, we're propelled into our destiny as a people in a house that heals and understands humanity. I was reading about the dark side of the moon. The first things came up was an album. The Oldie Goldies, who did the dark side of the moon? Pink Floyd. So you had to go beyond the Pink Floyd references to find out what the actual dark side of the moon was. And it said this. It refers to the side of the moon that is permanently turned away from the earth. And although it receives approximately the same amount of light as the other side of the moon, the dark side of the moon is the portion that seems to face away from the sunlight. But measurements from a telescope in Hawaii in 2014 reveal that the color of the dark side of the moon is in reality turquoise. Isaiah 54. Afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Your foundations with lapis lazuli. I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of sparkling jewels. And all your walls of precious stones. All your children will be taught by the Lord. Great will be their peace. In righteousness you will be established and tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will be my doing and they will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flames and forges a weapon fit for his work. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to take the beautiful turquoise dark side of your moon and forge it into a weapon that is valuable, a weapon for God, a tool in his hand unto honor. I showed you a bracelet, if I could have the musicians, because we're going to let the Holy Spirit touch us this morning. I showed you my bracelet that I bought at the outset of my message. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, do you know what? That bracelet with the leather and the jewels. I want to say today that you are the dusty leather encrusted with amazing cut jewels. That's how God looks at you this morning. But he doesn't just want to see the glitz. He wants to see the dusty leather. He wants to see the feet and the heart that have weathered incredible storms. And he wants to take that dark side of your life and flip it into his light this morning and break through in your world in the most amazing way. You are forged for kingship. Do you know God has a purpose? God has an incredible purpose. And I know this message has been gentle, but this is the new me, gentle but powerful. I remember over this period, and I can't preach without notes like the men in our church, so I'm not going to try and be the men in our church. I remember when I was about 15, a man prophesied over my life, and he said that your life will be one of calmness but of an anointing. And I've tried to be somebody I'm not. And the last 6 months has stepped me back. It's dealt with the issues of my heart that God needed to see. And I realize who I am. This morning, I mean, Joe, that was phenomenal this morning. Just that word you brought from heaven. In actual fact, Joe, stand up. Well, he doesn't really need to stand up. He's already standing up. He's so tall. I just saw such a growth in you this morning when it hit me. It hit me. You've got churches inside of you. And you've been thinking in your head, how does that happen? Like, really, how does that happen? Like, God, I just look at the sides of me that aren't great and don't work. And God says he's going to take those sides and turn them into your greatest glory. He's going to take the very things that you hide away because you think nobody should see that. And he's going to take those very things and make them beautiful. Okay, take your seat. I'll talk to you later. Before we do anything more this morning, I turned round during the praise and worship, and suddenly there was this, one of the lights was on a young man in this far corner. And I just need you to stand up if you don't mind. It's the guy with the burgundy jacket on the back row. Yeah, you. And the hand of God's on your life. And you sort of run here and you do a bit of this, you do a bit of that. Like, I'm not saying you're Del Boy, but you're that capable of so many things. Sometimes it's hard to know what God's got for you. And God says, don't run off at everything that people say for you to do. Don't run off, don't run. Because you're tempted, oh, I'll do a bit of this, do a bit of that, do a bit of the other. And then you don't really know who you are. And God said, if you would stand still in one place for long enough, and I don't know this guy, I don't think I've ever met you before. If you stay in the one place long enough, God says, I will fashion your giftings that it'll be so multifaceted, but you'll be able and capable of holding it. That it won't escape, the gifting won't run and escape from your life anymore if you secure yourself in one place. I don't know if that makes any sense, but God bless you. Take your seat. Okay, church, what we're going to do today is we're going to respond to God. Okay. I've had to do some responding to God in the last 6 months. Oh, my word. And God has dealt with the very thing that I hid. And sometimes you got to dare. You got to dare to allow God to bring light into your darkness. You got to dare to be a person that God says, do you know what? This is me. God, I just expose me. This is me this morning. So we're going to stand, church. And we're going to be brave. Anybody with me? Wave your hand if you're with me. We're going to be brave. And I don't know how this is going to work out or anything, and I haven't asked Colin. But then I remembered I was the senior pastor. We're going to respond to God. And what we're going to do is we're going to run to him. So we're not going to wait for the bravest 45-year-old woman who always comes out here first, right? Guys, I dare you. Some of you young men, you need to bring your heart and you need to open it out to God and allow him to touch your life. And it's not just so you can have a weep at the altar and go home and have a Sunday lunch. It's because God wants to place his hand on your life. He wants to deal with the stuff he needs to deal with. And then he wants to use you to reign. That's what he wants to do. He wants to forge your weakness into kingship.
Thanks for downloading another inspirational message from Pastor Colin Blows. For more information, visit hopecitychurch.tv.